way. No way.
You've had lots of stuff on the Frederick Extra.
Yeah, how was the fair?
Oh, I got a lot more coming, too, boys.
Tell me more.
I just have so much to say and so little time.
I'll give you time.
I'm a little grumpy this week.
I'm sorry to hear that. Why? What happened?
That darn Kathy of Zolli. I've had it.
What happened?
I think she just keeps showing us who she is.
Oh, my.
And the fact that she keeps showing us who she is, hopefully will sink into the voters before June.
Well, you must have something to base this on.
Yes.
Well, I wrote an editorial. I don't write too many of those, as you may have noticed.
I've noticed that.
It takes, because, you know, I'm trying to be a reporter. It's difficult to swap the two roles, but quite frankly, I think that if something moves you enough, you need to get it out.
Yes,
so I let people know.
Myself. But go ahead.
That Kathy of Zolli has a habit of believing that the rules that apply to the rest of us do not apply to her. So her impetuous sense of entitlement has finally gotten to me. When she was told all last week throughout the fair not to campaign outside the tent, which has been the rule for years and years and years. During election years, you stick to the tents, the Democratic tents or the Republican tents. She was actually even removed from the household building after fair board member Jim Grimes saw her slapping stickers on little kids without asking their parents. For one thing, and for another thing, she's just not allowed to do it. So, you know, if you look at her history, she doesn't seem to care. She flaunts the rules, and she does what she wants to do.
Well, what wound up happening at the fair?
They ended up, finally, they had numerous complaints, according to Mr. Grimes, who I spoke with yesterday. And to his credit, he was... He didn't want to tell the whole sordid story, but she had been warned several times by security and by Fair Board and by her fellow Republicans in the tent that they had received numerous complaints about her violating the fairground rules, and she had been told to stop, but she didn't listen. Finally, towards the end, Mr. Grimes said he delivered a message to the Republicans at the tent that when they saw her, they were to tell her if he saw it again or had one more complaint, she was going to be ejected from the fair.
And did that occur?
She just didn't come back, and he was a little vague on that. I have a feeling they may have just told her not to come back.
Persona non grata.
Yeah, but at that point, it was the end of the week. So, you know, she got what she wanted, she did what she did, and she seems to escape unscathed by all this bad behavior, violating election law. She has a history of it. If you read my editorial, I talk about that.
Would this be an election law, or would this be a fair law, not an election law?
That's a fairground.
Right. Okay.
In rules in general, don't seem to apply to her. She'll park in front of a fire hydrant. She'll park illegally to go to the fair. She'll, you know, whatever. I'm a politician. Well, honey, you're not an ambulance. You're not the Pope. You can't park wherever you want to park just because someone elected you as state delegate.
Catherine, do you believe this will hurt her in her overall run?
I hope so, Tim. Okay. I hope so. I seriously think it's time to put Kathy Azzali's political career, put a period to it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I have more questions to ask you, but I have to take a very short break, if that's okay. If not, sure. We'll be right back. That's it. That's good music. Good afternoon. We're back. Catherine Hairbrand from thefrederickextra.com. Frank Mitchell from the .com. Charles Jenkins, he's just from Middletown or whatever. And Tim, I'm your just gracious host. That's the way to say it. Catherine, we're back to you. What else is new? What's news?
Well, I'm also irritated.
Yes?
Came out of the Alice report, which, you know, we've all known that it's becoming more and more expensive over the last couple decades to live in Frederick County.
Without question.
I wrote about it as a columnist when Joe Lebhurst was the head of the Chamber of Commerce, if you remember the live here, work here slogan, and they were trying to make that a reality. It didn't happen. What we ended up with was, you know, housing that was nearly as expensive as Montgomery County.
Without question.
And wages that fall way below the average income in Montgomery County to be able to afford those homes. That's why you see people like me living right over the line in Pennsylvania, or people buying a home in West Virginia and commuting all the way to Frederick.
That's all going to change.
County.
That's all going to change, Catherine.
When's that going to change, Tim?
As soon as we build a hotel complex convention center, they said all those high-paying jobs down. Oh, apparently you're laughing at that. I'm just listening to... You mean to tell me that they're not going to make enough to live here? I find
that... I just can't believe how many big houses people are still building out in the county.
Now, let's pull Catherine Charles Jenkins in here, because this is something he knows a little
Charles.
Bit about.
Hi, Catherine.
Yeah,
I don't know
you?
If you're going to be in a total agreement with this. What do you think, Charles?
Well,
are you familiar with ALICE?
Asset
Limited Income Constrained Employed People who live in Frederick County.
Right. Yeah, just a couple of things that to piggyback on what Catherine was talking about. First off, you talk going back to Joe Lepers and living here, work here, and that whole campaign. You know, when I was county commissioner, I had economic development go back to me and give me the statistics on what percentage of Frederick County residents commuted out of the county down south. Montgomery County in D.C. going back to 1950. And I got to tell you, that number has been remarkably consistent of around 42% of our workforce. That has not changed for over 70 years. It's been that long. So I'm not expecting any sort of a miracle. It's a neat cliche. It's a neat slogan. But the reality is that's where the jobs are, and that's where the jobs are going to continue to be.
The housing costs here
really spiked, obviously, between 2002 and 2006, when the entire national economy housing spiked. Limited.
Yeah, but it was a bubble that was doomed to flatten.
And we all saw that. Everybody who was involved in that understood that was going to happen. So the last thing that you just kind of brought me in on, Catherine, what was the last thing that you were going on?
What were we talking about? What was I going on about why people who live in Frederick can't afford
I covered that.
Can't afford to live there.
You had three things, and I can't remember the last one. Frank, can you help us out, or are you gone over
there?
We're
not back to Delegate of Zolli, are we?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. That was the first thing.
I think I covered that pretty well already.
Hey,
I think you know how I feel about that. The live here, work here thing, we were talking about that, but I wanted to go back to that ALICE report. One of the things that was kind of shocking to some people who hadn't seen that report yet was that you could make $60,000, a family of four, and still not be able to pay your bills.
Still be living hand to mouth. I'm sorry, that's what it's about. You made the comment about people still building these big homes. You know, I work for a custom home builder, Mark Lancaster. Mm-hmm. At a Middletown. And, you know, in a good year, Mark has maybe eight homes that are going on. And I can tell you what we have seen over the last 8 years is a significant downsizing of the homes that we are building for people. We are seeing more of the one level. We're seeing ones that can accommodate multi-generational. And we're seeing more in the lines of 2,200 to 2,500 square feet, not 4,000 square feet.
That's good, because I just talked to county yesterday, and I have had several questions for permitting and planning, and you know, anecdotally, they're saying they're still getting 6,500 square foot houses, plans for those, and I just wonder who can afford that.
Absolutely.
So and to your point about the data that you collected about the people that travel down the road, I tend to believe that, but I have a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that for 70 years half the workforce in Frederick County has been traveling down the road.
My
family moved up in PG, there was maybe one or two men in town that went to D.C. every day.
Well,
and my dad
it's like 270. You know, you can go back. You can go back at one point. 270 in Frederick County was accommodating 5,000 vehicle trips a day, and now it's accommodating 120,000 trips a day, and no lanes have been added to it.
Isn't that crazy? I feel for those people that have to do it, but there are sacrifices that you have to make, and that's a decision that anybody who wants to, you know, either work or live in Frederick County has to make that decision, whether they are up for a commute, whether it's from Pennsylvania, Washington County, or, you know, West Virginia.
I'd rather slip my wrist. I don't know how people do it every day.
Yeah, well, I would tell you, when I first moved up here, after living in, you know, Frederick County for several years, when I went to buy a house and moved up here, my commute to Frederick Community College was about 35 minutes. Now, and then to downtown when I was working downtown, it was about 45. Oh, you know, by the time I got there and parked and got into the building. Now, if I come downtown, I know it, I have to give myself an hour.
Yep.
It's just an additional 15 minutes, which is, you know, a fairly long time. I don't know what the answers are. I know that the nonprofit world is using these statistics to help them procure more assistance and grant money. But to me, that just seems like an impermanent solution to a problem that's just that's continuing to grow. And to be heavily taxed in the city of Frederick, and to some people's mind, double taxed for similar services, only adds to that. Now, one of the things that I'm looking at is, I'm trying to get a handle on all the fees, that developers pay or that pass on to the home buyer, on average, like single family home, townhome, and condominium. Just to see how much more expensive it is to live here.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. You've got right off the bat about $15,500 in impact fees before you've done anything. And then, of course, you have the mandates. It started out with the sprinkler systems back in 2005 that they were told was going to add about $2,000 to $2,500 a house, that in reality is more like
$8,000. That's what I hear.
And then, of course, you had the move from the traditional septic to the BAT septic, and the cost literally doubled from $8,000 to $16,000 in one fell swoop.
That's just crazy.
Well, that was, you know, and that was something that you know,
why didn't you fix that, Charles, when you
well because here's what happened. They tried doing that legislatively, that BAT. It failed, so O'Malley's environmental secretary just imposed it, and there was nothing that any legislature could do about it. They tried doing that legislatively, that BAT. It failed, so O'Malley's environmental secretary just imposed it, and there was nothing that any legislature could do about it.
Oh, my. Well, we'll see what happens. So what else is going on? What else is happening?
What about the city election? What do you hear about the city election?
Well, you know, I'm working on a piece. I know that they're doing their sample ballots, which is kind of interesting since they did not do them. They were all about saving the money and cutting corners for the primary. If I were a loser in the primary, I'd raise an eyebrow.
They want to save money, Kathy, or they can move their election date to coincide with all the
other. Well, that would be the big money saver. And I go back and forth on that, Charles, because I hear the arguments on both sides and they both make sense to me, but I don't know at this point. It just feels like people are so unaware of the city election. How much more aware would they be of it if it's a crowded field and they're at the bottom of the ballot?
It doesn't matter when you're campaigning. You're going to campaign if you're running for office. It doesn't matter whether it's an office.
Do you think it's going to be more partisan-based in a presidential election year, because that's when we're most diametrically opposed, party-wise, where you may not see that type of partisanship on a local race in a non-presidential election year?
Well, if that happened, it certainly would benefit any Democrat on the city ballot.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But then again, I mean, you know, and maybe that's the reason why you've had successive Republican, multi-term mayors.
Yeah.
Right, could be.
Catherine, I want to ask you, before you go, one more quick thing you wrote about, and that is Catoctin View Apartments. Now, isn't that that one big apartment building on...
Next to Sharps.
Monterey Avenue in Frederick? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a senior apartment building owned by Housing Authority. It has many, many problems. And before waiting for it to get to an emergency, possibly condemnation state, Housing Authority has been working to try to get housing vouchers so they can move those folks out. And it's no easy feat. As you recall, when they did that with Hanson-Tawney Public Housing and some other developments around here, it's very time-consuming. And we're dealing with the elderly here. And they've lived in that place for a long time, but it's full of asbestos, and they've got leaking methane. And every time they have to make a repair to the sewer pipes, you know, it's a big production to go in when you have asbestos, and it takes so much longer and it's so much more expensive. So finally, they get to the point where they finally got HUD to agree to give vouchers, and then they can go about getting bids to remodel that entire building. It's going to be completely updated. So we'll talk to you in a second,
Catherine. Hang on for a second. Be right back with her. And I want to hear more.